So I want to talk today. I've actually had this. I'm going to talk about overcoming porn addiction. That's what I titled it. Or breaking the spirit of immorality, overcoming it. It's the same thing. And so I want to talk to you about that today. And this message, actually, in its entirety, was given to me in a dream about, 6 months, 7 months ago. I don't know how long. Earlier in 2016, I had a dream. And in the dream, I was in a room full of people. This is the first time I'd have an entire message. Every single point, every sub-point, everything. Even the illustrations, even instruction in the dream was given to me. At this point, stop. Don't go any further because at this point, there'll be an anointing for deliverance. Just stop and pray. I've never had that much. I've had ideas given to me in dreams before, but never an entire message. So it was pretty cool. So I was really excited. And this is the second time I'm preaching it. So in the dream, I was in a room full of people. I don't know, there were 20, 30 people in there. Most of them were young adults. But there were a few older ones, you know, like moms that were in their 60s, you know, that kind of thing. But mostly young adults were in the room. And I remember, you know, in the dream you do things that probably wouldn't do normally in real life. And I asked this question in the dream. I'm like, it was a real casual setting. I was like, so how many of you all, I don't even know most of these people. I was like, how many of you guys look at pornography regularly? And they just, the majority of the room, it was just like no big deal. They just put their hands up. And I remember in the dream I had this sense where that some of them didn't know the Lord, but many of them probably did go to church and have that kind of a background. And I remember being like, that's amazing that many people are looking at pornography. And then I thought, and I remember the way they raised their hand, it was almost like there was no shame. And because in their mind, and I just knew this in the dream, I knew that it's almost like it was so normal to look at pornography among like their friends. It was just like, it was such a normal thing that it was almost like they didn't even feel shame about it anymore. It was almost just like, well, doesn't everybody? You know, that's kind of the thinking that they had. So they're like, yeah, you know, I look at pornography. And then I asked this question second in the dream. I said, how many of you would like to quit looking at pornography if you could get free from it? How many of you would like to quit looking at pornography if you could get free from it? And at that point of the dream, I began testifying and sharing what I'm going to tell you now. And the first thing I told them is this. I said, I can testify. You know, I've been addicted to the spirit of immorality before. I know what it's like to be in that place. And I am free from the spirit of immorality now. And I have been for a long time living free. And I know it's possible in the grace of God. You can live free from that. You can live with a free mind, not under the influence of that dark thinking. And I told them this. I said, "Here's if you want to get free, this is how it worked for me. The first thing is you have to get to the point where you hate." Everybody say hate. Where you hate pornography and the spirit that is behind it. The spirit of immorality is what that is. You have to get to the point where you hate it. Because what happens is this, is a lot of times there's like, oh, you know I probably shouldn't. It's probably not good, but I really want, I really want, I really want, I really want. And you have to get to a point where you're like, I hate this thing. I hate this thing. Because at that point, you will, when you hate how it grieves the Holy Spirit, and when you hate how it hurts you and cuts your destiny short and destroys your life, when you hate how it hurts other people, then you will become desperate enough to be willing to do whatever it takes to be free from it. And something has to happen in your heart. Something has to click inside of you where you get to the point where you're like, I am done with this. I want nothing to do with this. Whatever it takes, I don't care what I have to do, I am going to break free from this thing. I don't care how much I have to humble myself. I don't care whatever it takes. I don't want it at all. When that happens, this is the beginning of freedom. When that happens inside of you, it's the beginning of freedom. So I want to give you four reasons. I want to help you hate pornography and the spirit of immorality. I'm going to give you four reasons to inspire you to hate pornography and the spirit of immorality. Number one is this. Because practicing immorality, it will cost you your salvation. I say that's a big statement. I don't throw statements out like just cavalier in a not thinking about that way. But it is literally true. I could show you this all over the scriptures. I'm going to show you in a few places. But if you live in a lifestyle where you are practicing sexual immorality, including looking at pornography, if you live in that lifestyle, you will be in hell forever. It's true. If you tolerate that sin in your life, it will destroy your salvation. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, says the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the what? The sexually immoral. Those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Is that clear? I mean, that's not difficult. An 8-year-old understands the scripture. You don't need a theological degree. That's really simple. It's very straightforward. Can I tell you this truth right here is I'm so thankful for it. That I love Jesus. One of the things I love about him is how honest he is. I love that he's honest. He doesn't withhold information to get us to like him. He cares about us first. Genuinely, he cares about us. And so he tells us what we need to know to come into what he has for us and to avoid what the devil has for us. And this truth right here, when I realized, I wrestled with the spirit of immorality, sexual immorality, since honestly the time I was in elementary school. I remember seeing my first pornographic magazine. I would think I was 5 years old. And I was at a grocery store with my mom. And I remember just being like, I had to use a bathroom. So they took me to the restroom kind of in the back of the store. And I walked in the stall and there's this magazine just spread out. It shocked me. But those images just stayed in my mind because there's a spirit that's on it. It's not just a picture. There's a spirit that's on it. You set your eye on it and you feel this energy. And it's a demon is what it is. I mean, that stuff is toxic. The devil doesn't play fair. I wasn't seeking it out. I was a 5-year-old. I just wanted to use the restroom, you know, with my mom at the grocery store. But the devil doesn't play fair. And so you have to be ruthless in your war against the spirit of immorality because the devil will be ruthless with us. He will be ruthless with us. And I remember I wrestled with it. My entire teenage life, I was engaged in immorality. All my teenage years. And I remember I got to the point where I was, I'm getting married. I'm a Christian. I'm in Bible college. And I realized I get this fresh touch of God on my life. And when I realized, Jeff, if you persist in this lifestyle, it will cost you your salvation. And honestly, the thought, I knew the Lord. I was born again. I had the Holy Spirit. I was witnessing. I was telling other people about Jesus. I genuinely love the Lord. But when I realized that not dealing with this, tolerating this in my life, it leads to destruction. It will, where it ends up, it takes you on a journey and it takes you so much farther than you intend to really go. And it, where it ends up is in the lake of fire. And that helped set me free. That truth right there. When I realized, and then when temptation came and I realized, I'm like, I thought about hell. I know what the Bible says about hell. I'm like, no, this isn't worth it. This is not worth it at all. I actually believe what God says in his word. I don't want to be in hell. I do not want to participate in immorality. Like, no. And it actually empowered me to say no to temptation. Just this truth right here. You know why? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I love this scripture. God loves Israel so much, and he looks at them, and they have this problem, though. He draws them to himself, and then they always depart from him. And then he says this. He makes them a promise. I love you so much. I want to be close to you. He says, here's what I'm going to do for you. I am going to put my holy fear inside of you. And then he gives the reason why. So that you will not depart from me. And then he says this. And then his heart comes out. This is why he doesn't want him to depart from him. He's like, so that it will go well with you and with your children and your children's children forever, and that you may inherit the land that I have for you. I mean, come on. God is a father. He loves you. He loves us, and he is fully aware of what the spirit of immorality will do to us. It will take you out of his family, and it will put you in a place of destruction when he created you for life and blessing forever. Ephesians chapter 5, 3 through 6, he's talking to the church, and he says, among you, James River Church, believers in Jesus all over the world, among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. It's one of the things I'm fasting, one of my personal goals I'm fasting for this month, is I'm living in purity. I'm not living in compromise. I've been living in purity. But I want greater breakthrough over the spirit of immorality. That's one of the things I'm believing God for. And because I'm going to talk about this next week, it's not a sin to be tempted, you know? But I find sometimes I'm having to fight off wrong images coming into my mind, and I'm fighting them off. But I feel like I'm having to fight off stuff more than necessary. So I'm like, God, you know what? I'm part of my fast this month. I want a greater victory over the spirit of immorality. Not even a hint of sexual immorality. For of this you can be sure, no immoral. I mean, this is so clear. Impure or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. What a statement. He makes this radical statement. He's like, brothers and sisters in the Lord, Church of Ephesus, revival town. When you read the birth of the Church of Ephesus, it was revival town. There is power happening. The word ran swiftly from there all over Asia in 2 years. I mean, massive revival. People brought their occult materials and burned it and were renouncing idolatry and all that kind of stuff. And he's like, brothers and sisters in Ephesus. He's like, listen, no immoral person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. None. That's a salvation issue. And then I love this. He says, don't let anyone deceive you and tell you otherwise. Those are empty words. They don't even know what they're talking about. People say, you can play with immorality just a little bit. Just don't let it go beyond this point. It's not hurting. It's only me. I mean, it's just me and the computer, and nobody else knows about it. It's not hurting anybody else. It's just me. He says, don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. No immoral person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Here's what immorality is. All sexual activity outside of the marriage covenant between a husband and his wife is immorality. Fantasy, thought life, conversations, masturbation, like all of it, all sexual activity that's outside of between, because God created sex, it's good, it's wonderful. It's between a husband and his wife, it's a blessing, it's a wonderful thing that God made. But the devil, he likes to pervert it, what God intended for good, and get us to go outside the boundaries that God established for it. And then when we do that, what we do, Paul says, we make it an idol. We make it an idol. We put our desire for sexual gratification before our love for Christ, our love for his word, and honestly, our love for people. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Because it doesn't just affect you when you're in your room and it's just you and a screen. It's not just affecting you, and I'll talk about that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter, I got to finish, verse 6 of Ephesians. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's what? I mean, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Is that clear? Yeah, that's clear. I mean, that preaches without me. I don't have to say anything. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? What does he say? What's the next phrase? Notice how he keeps saying that phrase? You want to know why he has to say, don't let people deceive you? Because God inspired Paul to write that in the Holy Scriptures because he knew that there would be a propensity to deceive ourselves in this way. Because anything that we crave really intensely, we have a way of justifying us doing that thing. And it only takes one person who looks really nice and misuses a few Bible verses out of context to say, oh, it's okay, you can do this. It's really not that big of a deal. God is grace. He has mercy. He has love. There is no condemnation. That verse, there is no condemnation. What does the rest of it say? For those who are what? So you better stay in Christ Jesus. Because if you're outside of him, which when we sin, right? We are stepping outside of him. We're doing our own thing. We're living in disobedience. There will be condemnation for all who are living apart from his will, who are disobeying him, right? Now, the good news is, right now, you're still alive. So you still have the opportunity to repent. Does that make sense? So you're not like condemned now. There's no hope of ever. Your fate is sealed. That's not true. Your fate isn't sealed. You can turn things around. There's grace for you. There's good news. You can repent. God will give you grace. That was a perfect introduction to seal. Godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to freedom and joy. Honestly, it really does. Okay, and then he says, do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor all those other things will inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to this. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. It's like, that's not who you are anymore. Why are you living like that? That's not who you are, that's who you were. You're a totally new creation. You have the Holy Spirit in you now. You have all the resource of heaven in your favor. Doesn't matter what enemy is tempting you, is trying to get you, how weak you feel. You say one word, you call upon the Lord, and he helps you. Like, you're not a slave to that anymore. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8. Again, he's writing to the church in all of this. He says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, and that each of you should learn. Notice there's a learning process. Many of us have to relearn how to do life. You know, we grow up, we learn to cater to the appetites and the impulses of our flesh. You see a good-looking person go by, and you want to look, you look, right? But we have to retrain. We have to learn to control our bodies. Like, that's not right for me to look. I remember it was my baseball coach. He helped lead me to the Lord. He was on fire for God Christian. I remember he would preach to us all the time. Public school, he'd preach to us in study hall on different things. And one day he was preaching to us about avoiding sexual immorality. You know, for like 16, 17-year-olds, this is a really good message for us to hear. And so I remember I was a new Christian, and he said this thing. He's like, you don't have to look at that girl. When we didn't have any girls on our team, so he's talking to all guys. He's like, you don't have to look at that girl when she walks by and lust after her. And then he said this. He was like, this is what you do. When she walks by and your head's going like this, he says, just grab your head and turn it like this. And I remember he said that, and I was like, that is good. I'm like, wow, like that's a great, just genius. That's so good. You know, it was like revelation to me. I'm like, I don't have to look. That's amazing. You know, I thought that was so cool. But it's true. You know, it's in alignment with the scriptures. So it works. He says, you learn to control your body in a way that's holy and honorable. I love this. Not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. You know what? You are not an animal. You are so much more dignified than that. You are not to be controlled by your lusts and your passions. Like, I have to, I have to, I have to. Do you know what? You could go your entire life, never have sex one time, and you'll be okay. You won't die. Really? You won't be deprived. You probably won't have to. You won't have to go through a sozo inner healing session like I've just never been able to even one time. You'll be okay for real. Do you know that Jesus lived his whole life and he was tempted in every way that we are, which means he had sexual desires. But he didn't sin even once. And you know what? He was totally fine. I bet you when he got to heaven, he didn't need inner healing from the guy. I just got to sit down with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was totally okay. He was totally okay. The devil's such a liar. He tells us, he's like, your flesh is so important. You need this. You need this. And we're like, I deserve this. I didn't know. That's not true. That's not, God didn't create the sex drive to make you an animal that has zero control. You are created in his image. Do you understand that sex, the way God created it to be, there's dignity in it. There's no shame in it. There's honor in it. Because we're not animals. He says, and in this matter of immorality, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. Listen to this. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. As we have already told you and warned you. Notice, you know what I notice about Paul in his epistles? This is, if you want insight into how did the Apostle Paul disciple the churches that he started. You know one theme that you see very common, one of the most common themes in the epistles is avoid sexual immorality. Control yourself. Live in holiness before the Lord. Why do you think he was just on that all the time? I think because it wasn't much different back then than it is today. Immorality is everywhere. It's part of society. It's like in my dream. It's like, well, of course, doesn't everybody? And Paul's like, listen, this is a big thing. I got to repeat this over and over and over again. I want to keep this truth before you because I'm contending for your greatness. I'm contending for your salvation. I don't want to go 5 years, you don't think about this thing, and you kind of start subtly giving in to immorality. That's why I'm preaching this. I've had this on, I preached this series just a couple years ago, but I like to keep on, this is one of the things I like to talk about regularly because I want to keep it before us. We want to be a people who contend for sexual purity in our midst. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. And he says, I've already told you this and warned you, but I'm telling you again. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, this is intense. He who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. You know, somebody could listen to this and just say, that's just one of those old-fashioned preachers. Pastor Jeff, he's just kind of old fuddy-duddy. He doesn't understand the times. I reject this teaching to live in sexual purity. You are rejecting God, not me. That's what Paul says. It says, you reject this instruction to live in sexual purity. You are saying, Jesus, I don't want you. That's what's really happening. The one who gives you the Holy Spirit, which is your salvation, you're saying, I'm going to take this immorality instead. So reason number one, I'm trying to inspire you to hate pornography. Hopefully, reason number one did it for me. If you want to avoid hell and go to heaven, you must wage war against and overcome the spirit of immorality. This is non-negotiable. This isn't optional. And I'll talk about this more next week, but I just want to mention it here. There's a difference between tolerating immorality in your life and you're waging war against it. You hate it. You're saying no, no, no. And in a moment of weakness, you stumble and you look at something you shouldn't look at. And you're like, oh, no, that's not okay with me. I hate that. Lord, forgive me. I'm at war with that. It's not like you stumble one time and there goes my salvation. I just lost it. It's talking about a lifestyle. And I'm going to tell you what, God knows the heart. You're going to stand before the Lord. Lord, I was trying. I wonder if a lot of people, he'd be like, who are you talking to? No, you weren't. You're just putting on a show just to kind of ease your conscience a little bit, but you weren't doing everything in your power to overcome this thing. You weren't really at war against it. And you can be at war against it, and you know, you stumble. If you're at war against it, you will win. I mean, this is a victory that everybody can have. In the Holy Spirit, there's no battle against sin that you can't win. None whatsoever. You know, you can win this. You resolve in your heart, God, never again. That's the issue. A lot of times when I'm mentoring people, I'm mentoring guys, I mentor a lot of people, and we talk about this issue. And I'm like, you have to get to the point where you're not just saying, oh, I feel bad that I did that. I feel bad that I did that. I hope I don't do it again. You have to get to the point where you're like, not even one more time for the rest of your life. And until you set that as your goal, you're going to stumble again. You know, it may take 2 months, but you'll fall again. When there's this place in the back of your mind that you know, I can go there if I just don't do it too much. I'll just wait. You know, it's been 3 months since the last time. So, I've been doing pretty good. You'll always go back if it's back there. But you have to get to the point where you're like, never again. Never. Never. And you set that as your target. That's what you aim at. It's not okay with me. Even one more time is not enough. When that desperation, when that radical resolve clicks inside your spirit, you're on the path of freedom. I'm telling you the truth from a man who's experienced it. Number two. Reason number two to hate pornography. These ones go faster. You should hate pornography and the spirit of immorality because of how it destroys people. I just want to give you a few statements here, and I want you to think about these things. Do you understand that pornography fuels the exploitation of women and children all over the world? See, the devil lies and he says, it's not hurting anybody. It's just you and a screen alone in a room. It's not affecting anybody. It's just you. That's not true. It's the law of supply and demand. Do you understand that women and children all over the world, and men, young men, do you know that they're being raped, they're being abused, they're being trafficked, they're being kidnapped, and forced, you know, to do that. Many, a lot of the scenes that are people that you're seeing on the screen are there against their will. And some of them are there, they're like, no, I want to do this. They have deceived, I'm free, I like this, I'm proud of it, but they're not. They feel shame. They hate it. It's ugly to them. But they got to keep their image up and act like they have it together. That works for a little while. Then they get to the breaking point, and Jesus is there if they'll look for him, and he'll save them. Do you understand? It's not just you. It's like people are abusing other people and getting those images on screen because you will look at it, and they can make money off of it. It's not just you alone in the room. It's affecting other people. So we should hate pornography because it fuels the exploitation of women and children. Pornography fuels rape. If pornography were entirely eliminated from the planet right now, my guess is that child pornography, rape, molestation, and abuse, adultery, those things right there, I'm guessing it would decrease by 80 to 90% across the globe. Pornography fuels rape. Pornography fuels prostitution and human trafficking. Absolutely fuels it. You want to eliminate, you're like, oh, it's horrible. You know, they kidnap some girl off the street and they do these horrible things to her. I won't go into details. They do terrible things to her. And you're like, oh, that's awful. That's awful. They should catch those guys. They should like throw them away and lock the key. You know, what are they thinking? And all the while, you click on that website, and you're fueling it. You're fueling it. It fuels child molestation. You know what? These perverted forms of sexual abuse, nobody in their right mind, I mean, demons inspire these ideas. These things are so unnatural to the way God even wired us. They're so unnatural. Nobody even gets psycho ideas like that unless they first see it through pornography. And then when they see it, what happens is the eye is a gate. And when you look at something, demons come in through the eye gate and influence your thinking. They influence your appetites and your desires, and they begin to pervert them. I heard somebody say this, a good definition, perversion means the wrong version. Perversion is the wrong version of what God intended. And the devil will pervert, he'll twist our natural sex drive that God gave us, which is good. And it was intended to bring life and blessing and good between a husband and wife. He will twist that so that there's a wrong fulfillment of it, and it brings death and destruction. Pornography fuels adultery and divorce. It is a major destroyer of marriages. Pornography, listen to this. Pornography fuels the abortion industry. Say, how is that? Because so many of the abortions that are happening, it's people who are engaging in immorality, sexual immorality, and they don't want to deal with the, you know, what comes when you have sex? Children come. That's what God created. You know, that's just going to happen. And so they're like, I don't want to, I want to engage my lust, but I don't want to have responsibility in my life and deal with this. And so fuels that abortion industry. Finally, pornography, the spirit of immorality, it fuels the perversion that's prevalent in society. Homosexuality, same-sex marriage, all this kind of stuff that's just confusion about your gender. It's demonic. But you know what inspires it, fuels these things? It's pornography. You get rid of pornography and so many of the problems that are in society go away. Until Jesus returns, you know, they're still going to be there a little bit because demons are at work, and I've always through the centuries inspired people to do evil, wicked, perverse things. But pornography, and especially with the internet, it's so easy to access. And the devil doesn't play fair. The percentages, the statistics that talk about the number of school children that accidentally discover pornography for the first time while doing homework. They're doing an innocent search. They actually, a lot of these pornography industry people, they actually on purpose will use seemingly innocent searches, you know, that a kid would use for a research paper. You know, that you would type into Google or what the search engine, and it pulls up this porn site. And it's like, that should never lead to this. That doesn't make sense. But they know what they're doing. They're targeting. Oh, good, good. Number three. So every time, let me just say this before I go to reason number three. Every time you partake in pornography, you are supporting and the perpetuation of these evils in society. That's true. You're supporting it. And so we hate pornography because it costs you your salvation. If you love your soul, hate pornography. Because it hurts people. It hurts people. Number three, hate pornography because it destroys marriages. And I mentioned this already, but I just wanted to say it again as its own reason. Because I remember when I first got married, my dreams were being fulfilled. I mean, my whole life, I just want a godly, my whole Christian life, I want a godly wife, and I want to have a godly house with children, and I want to serve the Lord. And I remember I first got married within the first few months of our marriage. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I wrestle with immorality my whole life, and I'm thinking, this is going to be great. I'm going to get married. This will really be helpful in overcoming and winning in this battle. And I remember getting married, and a few months into this thing, I realized it dawned on me. I'm like, marriage isn't the cure for the spirit of immorality. I'm like, oh no. And I remember feeling this desperation. I was like, if I yield even one time to this thing, it could cost me my marriage. And I will have had my dream in my hand, gift from God, and I trashed it because of some stupid desire for immorality. I remember being so desperate. My God, it will destroy your marriage. And even if it doesn't lead to divorce, it still destroys the marriage. You're together, but your mind's on somebody else. You live disconnected from your spouse. You know, there's not that intimate connection. I'm not even talking just physically. I'm talking about heart to heart. When pornography, when immorality enters in and you're engaging with that thing, it's like this invisible barrier that destroys intimacy between husband and wife. Again, not just physically. I'm talking about even the emotional intimate connection that God desires that we would have. It's a destroyer of marriages. And if you look at pornography, it will absolutely guarantee it if you persist in it. Now, again, I'm about to get to good news. Don't worry. I'm going to talk about repentance. You can be free from these things and none of this bad stuff has to happen. But if you don't repent of looking at pornography, you can guarantee it will destroy your marriage. And not only that, your key relationships in your life. And it will destroy you. The spirit of immorality, it doesn't play fair. It's a demon. And I remember reading a story one time of a man. He was a pastor. And he had a pornography addiction. He's like, nobody knows about it, though. It's just, I'm safe. I just do this in my office. It's just me. And he had it going on. He didn't deal with it. And one time he was watching this pornographic website, and it was this live scene of something going on in a different place in the world that he was watching live on the internet. And as he's watching it, all of a sudden he recognizes one of the people that are on the screen. It was his son. And he's like, oh my goodness, it rocked his world. He's like, what is he doing? I thought, how did he get involved in this stuff? Nobody knows. I've hidden it. He said, no. What you did, sir, is when you looked at it, you opened a door for that spirit to come into your household. And now your son was having to fight spiritual battles he should never have had to deal with at that age, but he was dealing with them because you invited it into the house. You think you were controlling it, and you were deceived. That thing was working you and working your family. It'd destroy your key relationships. What inheritance are you going to pass on to your son, to your daughter? I would never want my daughter involved in something like that. Don't open the door to it in your house. The good news is it rocked his world. It brought him to the point finally of godly sorrow that led to true repentance. And when his son got home, he brought his son into his office and he says, son, I have a confession. He says, I've been sinning against God. I've been involved in immorality. I've been looking at pornography for a long time. I've been hiding it from you. And the other day I was watching something and I saw you on it too. And both of them just broke down in repentance and confessed their sins and got free from it, held each other accountable. So there's good news if you repent. Reason number four. You should hate pornography, the spirit of immorality, because it is the pathway to demon possession. Now remember, each one of these 4 points, I'm telling you literally, this point was given to me in a dream. Pornography, if you want to be demon possessed, look at pornography. It is the pathway to demon possession. Pornography will take you farther into depravity than you ever intend to go. I remember years ago, there was a story, a guy, this is years ago. How many of you remember Ted Bundy? Anybody ever hear of Ted Bundy? This was this famous case. He was in Florida, I believe it was. And he was this super handsome, good-looking guy. I mean, he just looked sharp. He looked like he had it together. He didn't look like some psychopathic killer pervert. He looked just sharp, like he had it all together. And he was convicted to the death penalty in a Florida prison for murdering, I think it was 30 different women or something like that. probably the real number was beyond 50. But 30 is what they knew for sure that they convicted him on. And right before he died, he was going to the electric chair. He was in prison. And right before he died, he says, I want Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. He's a Christian man who had taken his stand against pornography. And he says, I want him to come. I want him to interview me. I have something I want to say to the world. Because he's facing the music. I mean, he's facing the consequences for his sin. He knows. He literally was hours away from death in the electric chair. And he knows it. And Dr. Dobson comes in hours before he's about to die. And he comes in, and this is what he says. He says, I just want people to know. I want my parents to know. This isn't my parents' fault. I was raised in a Christian home. A good Christian home. My parents weren't hypocrites. They were good people. They were good people. It's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. It is my fault. I accept responsibility. It's a sign of repentance, godly sorrow. And then he says this. He says, here's what happened. He says, at a certain time, he says, I was exposed to pornography for the first time. And he says, and something happened. When I saw that, something clicked inside of me. And he's like, I was like, oh my goodness, I had to have it. You know why? You know what it is? There's a demon on that stuff. I'm telling you, that's what it is. It's more than a picture. It's not just a physical act. It's not a physical act only. There's a spirit on that thing. He says, something clicked inside of me and I had to have it. So I was looking at this soft porn, you know? He says, but after a while, it just didn't do it for me. It didn't energize. It wasn't as exciting as it was when I first started. So I had to get into harder stuff. So I started watching stuff that was more intense, more perverse. And then it gave me that rush. But then after a while, that wasn't doing it either. So I went farther and farther. And where it ended was with me. I have to act it out now. It's not enough just to fantasize. Now I get to the point, I have to act it out. You want to know why? That's how demons work. That's how demons work. It's like, I want to be free. I don't want demons telling me what to do. You know what? Don't open the door when they knock the first time. Keep the door shut. When temptation comes, and it's like, oh, it's just a look. Or it's like, just one time. And there's a demon crouching on the other side of the door like a beast. And you open that door and it pounces. It pounces. Don't open the door. Keep it shut. And he's like, and then I had to start acting it out, and I would date these women. Why? Because I look like a good guy. But then I'd take them out, we do horrible, I'd do terrible things and kill them. And he's, and then even after, he's like, you know, he's just like, what's happening? Who have I become? Like, I don't even recognize myself. Who? I bet you this, when he was a 5-year-old little boy, I bet you he never in his wildest dreams would have imagined how his life would end. You know, no 7-year-old says, I'm going to murder this many people and abuse them sexually, and I'm going to die in great shame in front of a nation in an electric chair because of my sins. Nobody has that as their dream vision for their life, but the devil has it for your life. And God has a plan for your life, and you choose which one you take. Pornography is the pathway to demon possession. And Ted Bundy, he was like, this is my message. Pornography is evil. Don't look at it. Don't become like me. Don't become like me. Don't do it. And hours later, he died. Hopefully, he repented and gave his life to Jesus, I hope. And I hope he's in heaven. I don't know. And last, this is what I want to say. So those are 4 reasons you should hate pornography. And the point of point number 1 is to get us to the place where it's like, I'm done with this. I'm done with this. No more games. No more just, I can tame the beast. No, you can't. That's a wild animal. You can't tame that beast. You know, I heard somebody say this. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and they were talking about this woman who, she had a little baby raccoon from a little baby. And it grows up. And it was her baby, you know, it was just her pet. It carried it around. It loved her. It was so sweet to her. And there was this guy who owned a zoo, who was a friend of hers. And he was like, listen, there's this thing that happens. I can't remember what he said. He's like, just scientifically, it's the nature of the thing. At 20-something months, something clicks, and there was some scientific term he used, that happens inside of this thing, and it will turn on you. It won't. Get rid of it now. Like, good, you enjoyed it. Get rid of it, because that season's coming, and its nature is going to come out. You can't tame a wild beast. And she was like, oh, no, this is my baby. It's going to be okay. You know, 4 plastic surgeries later. 4. That thing turned on her and messed her up so bad she had to have 4 plastic surgeries to try and fix the damage that it did. But you know what? It's like a lot of this is the spirit of immorality. That's what you're playing with. And the devil says, I can control this. You know, I'll do this, but I would never go there. I would never rape somebody. I would never do something to a child. That's so shameful. I would never engage in homosexual behavior. Like, no way. I would never do that. Just this far, no farther. You know what? You are playing with fire. You can't control it. It's a lie. The devil's a liar. You can control it. Well, if you can control it, then why are you not controlling it now? If you can't control the beast when it's this big, why do you think you're going to control it when it's a full-grown lion? Okay, you ready for good news?
Yeah.
Yeah? The good news is that you can be completely free from immorality if you repent. 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 I'm going to say this statement. I want you to pay attention to this. This is totally true. I've watched this happen. You will experience freedom to the degree of your repentance. If you're half-hearted, you're not free. Half-hearted is, I'll try to control it and look at it less. Wholehearted is, not even one more time. Ever. Not even once. It's not okay. That's what you aim at. That's wholehearted repentance. You have to be willing to do whatever it takes to be free. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 through 30. He was talking about overcoming the spirit of immorality that's behind adultery. And he says, you've heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Listen to his solution. If you're right, eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. Why? What? Why? He says, because it's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into where? See, even Jesus knew the consequences of immorality. This is cost you your salvation. So you know what? If you go with one out, if you go without one eye into heaven, you'll get it back. And he says this, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Here's the reason. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. You know, he loves us. He's trying to help us avoid hell. So what is Jesus saying? He's not advocating the removal of body parts as an antidote for conquering the spirit of immorality. That's not what he's doing, you know? Because even a blind man can have lust in his heart and in his mind. A blind man can sit there and fantasize all day long. Bummer, that didn't work. There's actually a man in history who actually castrated himself after reading this scripture, thinking it'd help me control immorality. It didn't. And later on, he said, older, he's like, I regret that I did that. That was not very effective. It was not very effective. And, you know, basically, I think I was misunderstanding what he said. So what is Jesus saying then? So don't go out. If you go out and cut something off, I am not responsible. I have disclaimed. That's not what Jesus is saying, okay? What is Jesus saying then? Here's what he's saying. You have to deal radically, ruthlessly with whatever it is that's causing you to sin. Cut off the temptation. Cut off the relationship that's causing you to stumble. And it's like, no, this person, you know, we messed up once, but we both feel bad and we won't do it again. I don't know about that. Unless you take radical measures. Or just hurry up and get married. If you can. No, seriously, I remember being a youth pastor. There's a beautiful high school girl. Beautiful girl. She was dating this guy who had graduated. He was like in college age. Super good looking guy. And they had dated for a little while. They were committing immorality together. I remember the spirit of repentance just fell in a service one day, and they were both there. And I remember they came up. You know, she's in high school. And they're just like weeping in repentance. And like they're standing there and they're like, we're never gonna do this again. We're never gonna do this again. And I remember God showed me a picture of her. And I saw her kind of like almost like a hot air balloon. And she was lifting off the ground, getting ready to soar with the Lord and take off in the Spirit. And she was lifting, and she was so excited. She was right there, and she gets to a certain point, and it's like, she stops. What's going on? And looks down, and there's this rope tied around her ankle that's holding her. It's staked to the ground. It was the relationship. I told her, I said, you know what? I said, I believe that you're sincere. I said, here's what I recommend you do. I think you guys should break up. You're not old enough, I wouldn't tell you to get married. If you're a little older, that might be an option, but it's not now. So you're young, break up, receive forgiveness, become strong in the Lord. God will bless you. Cut the chain. Cut off whatever it is. It's better for you to lose this boyfriend than to go into hell with him. They didn't. They thought, no, we can do it. They didn't. They fell back into immorality and they were gone. I don't even know what's happened to them now. I hope they repented and are back with the Lord. Cut off the internet if you can't control it. Get rid of your phone. If you're like, I can't stop. It's there. It's always in the back of my mind. Like I'm two clicks away. Well, then get rid of the phone. You will live. Like for real. You'll be okay. But people have lived for thousands of years without internet. You know? It's like, oh my goodness, that would be so inconvenient. My whole social life is online. You know, better to lose that than for your soul to be in hell. Just do whatever it takes. If you can't control it, get rid of it. Cut off the cable subscription if you have to. Get rid of the questionable movies or TV shows that just you watch them and it's, you know, there's just a hint of it on there. I just read you that. Not even a hint. You know, I am ruthless in my life about dealing with this. You know, not even a hint. I get rid of junk in my house. If it has even a hint of the spirit of immorality, I don't want it. Okay? And then quit the job if you can't live in purity while doing it. It's like, man, I remember I had this job. I was a new believer. I had this job in the place I lived. It was this big industrial place. And I got this job, and it paid amazing. It was like $6 an hour, which at the time was, I was so rich. You know, I was like 19 or 18. And I was like single. I have no bills at all. I'm living with my parents. You know, I'm like, $6 an hour. This is awesome. Plus overtime, time and a half. I'm rolling. But I hated that job. Because I go to that job, and what happens is they got pornography everywhere. You know, my job is to clean the office, sweep the floors in the manager's office. I go in there, and he's got these big framed pictures of naked ladies. And I'm just going in there like, and it was horrible. But you know what? If you can't, you know, some people, they'll tell you like, you know, greater is he that's in you than it's he that's in the world. So, you know, you stay there and be a light. That's great. But if the darkness in the place is stronger than you are in the Lord at that moment, get out of there. Go get strong, and maybe later you can go back and be a light. But don't sit there and let the devil take you out. You're not shining anyway. Does that make sense? So I'm just giving you some practical applications for the principle Jesus is advocating. If you want to be free from the spirit of immorality, you deal radically and ruthlessly with whatever it is that's opening the door for that thing to come into your life. Amen. So I'm going to pray for deliverance. So everybody stand with me. Keep this on the recording. You know, I love you guys. God loves you guys, honestly. You know, God, the word preaches this. You know, this message isn't any more intense than the raw scripture itself. You just read them. It's like no holds barred. Bang, there it is. It's like, oh my goodness, I have a choice to make. I deal with this thing or suffer the consequences. I don't like the consequences. I'm going to deal with this thing. And the good news is there's grace. You can be totally free from it. There's power in the gospel. So I want to set our hearts right now, just before the Lord. I want you to just in your own words, just in your heart, to talk to him and say, Lord, I'm looking you eye to eye, eye to eye. Like I am setting my heart right now. I am going to be a man or woman. I'm going to live in purity my whole life by the grace of God. I set my heart, no more immorality, not even a hint. I'm at war against this thing. And whatever's happened up to this point has happened. We'll repent of that and you'll be forgiven. But from this point forward, you're a new person. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray for myself, I pray for everybody here, that you, by your grace, you would release this intense resolve, this violent resolve inside of our spirit, that we will do whatever it takes to live in purity, to honor the Lord in this way, and even to honor our fellow man in this way. God, do it. Make that thing click in us. Line us up with the Lord. In Jesus' name, release this as an act of grace. God, release the spirit of the fear of the Lord. God, release grace in Jesus' name. Put the fear in us of God that we would not depart from you. I want you to pray with me. Just say, Jesus, I repent for opening my life to immorality. And I repent of everything I've done to entertain it in my life. Cleanse me. I just talk to the Lord and just do it quietly. You don't have to do it out loud. He hears you. But if there's anything specific the Holy Spirit's bringing to mind, something you looked at, an act that you did, something that comes to mind, I want you to just specifically just say, Lord, I repent of that. And I renounce the spirit that came into my life as a result of it. I encourage husbands and wives together, even though you're married now, if there were things that you did that you shouldn't have done before you got married, I really, really recommend that together, when you go home, that you take some time and you pray together, and together before the Lord, you come and say, Lord, we were wrong when we did this. Would you forgive us? Would you cleanse us from that sin? And any effects, any spirit that it brought into our relationship, God, cleanse us from all the effects of it. We lay it before you. We plead the blood of Jesus over it. And it's no condemnation when you repent. You know, you're forgiven. You don't have to wallow in it and beat yourself up forever. It's done. It's over. You're forgiven. But what we want to do is I think it's good for husband and wife to say, you know what? Like as not only as individuals, but if there was a corporate sin in our house, we want to clean it up corporately. So there can be a corporate blessing. All right, and just pray this. Just say, Jesus, I repent of that sin, and I renounce the spirit of immorality behind it. I command that spirit to leave me and to leave my children and to leave my household, to leave my spouse. In Jesus' name, we are clean, we are sanctified, we are consecrated to God. We are a house of light. We are a house of purity and holiness. We are a stronghold of God. In Jesus' name. Now I receive grace. I receive grace in my house. That there is power from God to overcome and to live in purity for every one of our family members. In Jesus' name. So we're just going to receive forgiveness. We're going to receive cleansing. We're going to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. Next week, I'm going to talk just some very practical ways that have been super helpful for me too. How to live in victory. A lifestyle of overcoming over the spirit of immorality. And so, in Jesus' name, I pray for you, myself. Father, we just, in the authority of the name of Jesus, we command every demon, every stronghold to leave in us as a result of the spirit of immorality. Even times when others abused us and we hated it, we had wanted nothing to do with it. Father, we command that demon, get out of my life. Shame, get out of my life. Self-hatred, get out of my life in the name of Jesus. I am clean. Everybody say this with me. I am clean. I am pure. I am holy. I am dignified. I am filled with honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Father, we give you thanks for freedom, for deliverance, for breakthrough. God, we thank you for the family lines that are being liberated right now. In Jesus' name, from the spirit of immorality. Amen. Praise God. Awesome. I love you guys.